If you will, grab your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter number 3 this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 7. We'll read down through verse number 10 responsively. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'll read verse number 7 out loud. You'll join me on verse number 8. And we'll alternate like that through verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 7, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile." And let's pray.
Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the word of God. The Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd fill me with your power today. Would you do what I cannot do? Would you speak to each and every individual as they need it today? Lord, there are scores and scores and scores of people in this room today. There's no way that one other sinner could help every one of them exactly as they need. But you could use the Word of God, and as I yield to you, you could use my words to help them. So please do that. Help them to yield to the words so that we may please you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want your attention this morning. I'll need it. I want to help you. I will try to use a little bit of humor appropriately, but as tired as I am, I'm probably just going to scream and holler to keep myself awake. But no, I want to help you. Those of you that are married, those of you that this is not just a sermon on marriage, but those of you that are married, this applies to you directly in Scripture. I'll apply it every which way, but if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. Our world is rude, mean, mistrusting, and violent. Amen. I have never been in a time of life where we have been as rude as people are today. Just drive up 81, you'll see what I mean. Drive through any part of this area and any part of the country. People are just flat out rude. What happened to common courtesy? Now we have people who are willing to film everything on their cell phone, but not willing to step in and stop bad from happening. We'd rather take video of it and watch crime take place with our camera than step in and stop it. People rob, loot, steal, murder, and have no respect for anybody or anybody's property. Some of you gray hairs, you know what I'm talking about. If your ball went into the neighbor's yard, you knocked on the door to see if you could go get it, or you snuck across real quietly and nobody knew. But you just didn't walk across people's yards. Now people don't give a flip. It's almost like people have forgotten how to live nicely. Everyone is so selfish. Everything is about me, how I feel. By the way, that's why our society is so nasty. Everyone wants to force their perversion down our throats and accept them, but they won't accept what that book says. They want us to give up what is right to suck down what is wrong. Well, I hate to tell you something. I don't hate them, but I don't have to suck down poison. Amen. I'm not about to eat vomit. Theirs or anybody else's. I counseled a pastor recently who has two folks in his church that are members of the National Guard. They were asked a question during their summer camp that they had to answer yes or no. The question was this: if you have to shower with someone who identifies as your gender, but that's not their birth gender, do you have a problem showering with them? The correct answer is yes. The trouble is, if you answer yes, you could face trouble for it. I said face trouble for it, but answer yes. Right is still right, wrong is still wrong. We now have children going to school identifying as cats and not speaking. Now, folks, where is America? Will the real America stand up? God makes a statement here in amen. God makes a statement here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7 that I want you to get. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That is impossible. No, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now watch this. And being heirs together of the grace of life. I want you to notice that statement. The grace of life. You see, God is talking about marriage and the home. God's talking about our relationship with human beings. And he said there is supposed to be a grace about living life. God says we're to be heirs together of the grace of life. Wow, what a statement. The average home, the average marriage, the average Christian life is desperately lacking the grace of life. Look at all the fussing, the yelling, the feuding, the bad attitudes in the average home today. Don't testify, please. Christian homes today, look at the harsh tones that are used within the four walls of your home. Look at the sharp attitudes. Look at the flat out not caring about somebody else and you stomping around to get your own way in our homes today. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud, but if we Christians don't live with gracious words and graciousness, who is? The lost world isn't going to do it. They're lost. But if the Christians aren't living with grace, what chance does anybody have? It is time now, more than ever, that we Christians learn this grace of life, or living graciously. May it be said of Grace Baptist Church that we don't live one way at church and another way at home. Can I tell you something? If it's good enough at God's house, it's good enough for your house. My standard answer as my children were growing up, and one of them sitting on the platform is my assistant pastor. He heard this: if you can't do it at church, don't do it at home. Say why? You say, well, preacher, you're pretty strict. I may be, but my children weren't confused, and they knew if they were a boy or a girl. They knew what bathroom to go into. They knew that two bulls didn't make a cow. They understood two roosters don't have eggs. I guess there's something to say about doing it God's way. What is the grace of life? How do we live it? That's what I want to show you today. First of all, God wants grace in life, not strife in life. Notice God says, heirs together with the grace of life, not the strife of life. Now please listen to me. The word strife means forceful imposing of one's will upon another. That's what causes anger and contention. When you force somebody to do something you want them to do, that causes strife. Strife is a result generally of pride and not willing, your unwillingness to give in to someone. Now, I understand parents and children. Children are not to tell parents what to do. I get that. I'm not talking about that necessarily, but I am saying this. Every once in a while, parents need to listen to a child, at least get their side of it. Amen. It doesn't mean you have to do what they say, but they ought to know they can at least say it. Proverbs chapter 16. Let me read several verses to you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 28 says this. Oops, here we go. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. God says that a froward person sows strife. He's constantly planting strife. In the home, that would be dad bad-mouthing mom in front of the kids. You're sowing strife. By the way, if you're bad-mouthing your spouse in front of your children, you're destroying your own leadership, not just your spouse's. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 19 says, "He that loveth transgression, that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction." God talks about this strife, this forcing your will. Proverbs 28, 25, Proverbs 30, verse 33. We're not going to read them. I'm just mentioning them. God talks about us living in this strife, forcing our will on someone. Let me try to illustrate it just for a second. Brother Josh works for me. There are very few times he and I will discuss things. He oversees certain areas of the church. Now, I answer to God for the whole thing. But I can't be involved in every minute detail of everything that takes place in the nursery, in your Sunday school class, in junior church. But I oversee all those things. I oversee the day-to-day operations, and I understand it. Same thing with the school. No, I'm not going to deal with every little thing that happens in the school. When it's too big for him to deal with, he brings it to me. Then we make decisions. It's that simple. Does that not mean, by the way, I know pretty much so what's happening. I don't micromanage, but there are times where he'll come and he'll say, "Preacher, we need to do this." And I'll say, "What do you think?" He'll tell me. There's times I'll say, "Let's modify that just a little." Or, "That's very good, go with it." There's other times I'll say, "Uh-uh, that isn't going to work." You say, "Why?" Because I'm an old man and I made that mistake more than once. It's not a matter of force, but in his humility, he says, "Preacher, it's yours. Whatever you decide, I'll do it." It's not a matter of me forcing my way. Recently, we had a decision like that. He said, "I don't agree, but I'll do what you say." I said, "That's all I'm asking." You say, "Why?" Because, by the way, I didn't have to force him. We didn't get into a knuckle brawl and knock down, drag out. I'm smart enough, I'm not doing that. There was a day I could whoop him. Now I can't. And I'm not even going to pretend to. Now wait a minute. I'm not going to lead in this church by forcing people to do things. Those of you that have been in our church a while, how many times have you heard this statement? Thank you, Brother Josh. No is not a bad answer. That's me not forcing you to do anything. I live that way. I live that way at home. Everybody doing all right? Hang on. Now hang in there for a second here. God does not want us living in our marriages or in our homes with strife. He wants us to live with grace, not with strife. Living for one another, not living for self. Tuesdays are generally my day off. Of course, school started this week. My wife is working in the school, pretty much so full time. I had a few hours at home by myself. That doesn't happen very often. And I was between appointments and things, and I got to looking around and I thought, what could I do to help my wife? So I cleaned a few things. Found that she had run the dishwasher. I emptied the dishwasher and put all the dishes away. All right, such a good husband. Brownie points everywhere. Now, wait a minute. She didn't ask me to do any of those things. I didn't say a word. She walked through the door. She said, "You ran the vacuum today." Mm-hmm. She walked halfway across the living room. She said, "What else did you do today?" I said, "Well, you'll figure it out." Now, wait a minute. Did I have to do those things? No, but I knew Monday was a long day. I knew Tuesday was a long day. She's not used to being on her feet and teaching like she used to be. Everybody's getting into a new routine. Your kids were tired, but the teachers were more tired, let me tell you. They have more miles on them. It takes them longer to recover. Now, wait a minute. I didn't have to do those things, but there was grace in living. I didn't say, "Well, how come you didn't get all this done?" Because the Lord would have said, "Hey, stupid, get up and do it yourself." Instead of me complaining about it, why not help the one that I love most? I had a little bit of time. Now, everybody doing all right? Learn to live for one another. Now, this is no secret. I get up before most people but God. All right? And that's fine. I make my two cups of coffee in the morning. We got one of those, what do you call that machine? Keurig, that's it. We got a Keurig. I'll make my two cups, put it in my thermos. But I always make sure the water's filled up. I make sure that the used little coffee dew jigger thing is out, and I put a fresh one in and is ready for my wife to turn it on when she gets up in the morning. Do I have to do that? No. But when she goes to the coffee machine, I want her to know that I thought about her that morning. You say, that's not very big. Maybe not to you, but that's called grace in living. I'm not thinking just about myself. I'm thinking about her. So God wants us to live with grace in life, not strife. That means this. Let's not force our way on people. I was counseling a marriage a couple weeks ago. Not in our church, somewhere else. And the man said, "I keep telling her I'm the boss." And I looked him square in the face and I said, "Dude, you're not." And he looked at me. I said, "Before you blow a gasket, if you have to tell everybody the boss, you're not. You haven't earned it. Let me help you." I said, "You're expecting to be served. Why don't you start serving? You think you're King Tut. Well, you're going to find out you're going to be laying in a grave real fast too. She's going to smack you upside the head." I said, and I wouldn't blame her. I said, "Do you want to follow somebody that forces you to follow?" "Well, no." I said, "Neither does anybody else. Why do you want to be like that?" Shock back to reality. So God wants us to live with grace, not with strife. Number two, what is the grace of life? The word grace means kindness. Kindly accept something you don't want. Do you know how many things are given to me that you might not think are important? Maddie, where's she at? There she is. Her little ones are cute. I think it was last week. It may have been Wednesday night. I don't know. All the days have kind of gone lately. It was her little girl came up to me, and she had two shells from the ocean, and she wanted to give them to me. I made a big deal of it. Say why? Because that was big to her. I've had children color me pictures. I have a whole drawer full of pictures from kids. And notes. "I love you, preacher." P-R-E-E-C-H-E-R. That's all right. They don't have to spell good. I'll take the love any day. Some of you are trying to figure out what was wrong with that, right, Brother Josh? Look at that face. He had a, Lisa said, it's not spelled right. Now you know whose daughter it was. Oh, love it. You know, sometimes you have to kindly accept something, even in your own home, that you didn't want. Instead of complaining about what she made, how about you just eat it? Now, in my house, it doesn't matter because I can't taste it anyway. I haven't tasted anything. But wait a minute. Maybe we ought to be thankful something was made. Not everybody does everything as perfect as you because they don't have the nail prints in your hands, in their hands that you have. Maybe you ought to learn to accept some things with kindness. Maybe if it didn't get done when you wanted it, maybe you ought to back up and find out why and help them through it instead of complaining about it. The word grace means free gift or favor. Not just a kindness, but it's a free gift. It's favor. It means doing something without expecting something in return. For you to give, expecting something in return is not giving. That's trading. That's not giving. It means to show pleasure. It literally means the word charm. Boy, that's not a word used in our society anymore. Graciousness. Grace used to be taught to young ladies how to walk, how to sit, how to do that. By the way, men learned how to do some things too. And at Grace Baptist Church School, they're going to learn those things. The reason you have women that want to act like a man is because they didn't take charm class. And because you had boys that wiggle when they walk. They need to learn to get a pair of cowboy boots and learn how to walk. They need to learn what a hoe handle is or a sledgehammer handle is, get blisters and bloodied hands. They need to learn how to walk. See, grace is giving everyone a free pass and not taking everything as an attack against yourself. You know, I tell people often when people are hurting, give them a free pass. Give them a little bit of grace. I sit beside, as I have with Harry and Kathy these last couple days. And everybody has family. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You have some that you really don't want the preacher to know. Yeah, and that's just you. We've all been there. And I'll tell people all the time, it's okay. I have family too. Give everybody a free pass. Not everybody's going to take it the same way. Just because people don't see life like you see it doesn't mean they don't see life. Why does everybody have to see everything through your eyes? Why do you have to be God? Why don't we accept how they see it? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll show you what God said. Not what the preacher said, but what God said. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse number 4. Now watch what God says about charity or love. Look at the words used in the word of God by God himself. Charity or love suffereth long. Does that sound like it's all happy dog, happy puppy dogs and all that kind of stuff? Suffering is not good. Charity suffereth long and is kind. While it's suffering, it's kind. Charity envieth not. Envy means you want something. Charity vaunteth not itself. That means it doesn't puff itself up and say, I'm the boss. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Oh. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Can I tell you something? That's how God says we're supposed to love in our homes. That didn't sound like every... By the way, if you've been married more than 6 days, you found out life ain't what you thought it was. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Grace is how we show or how we prove our love. 2 Corinthians 8, 8 through 9, don't turn there. The Bible says that we may prove our love. And it's by our deeds that we prove our love. So, first of all, God wants us to live with grace in life, not strife. Then we find out what grace is. Thirdly, and I must hurry, God gives us six elements of how to live with grace in life. There are six parts to living with grace in your life. Let me give you these six things. I'll be quick, but I want to help you today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Wow. Having compassion one on another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. First of all, God says that we're to be of one mind. You can look this up in the Greek, you can look it up in the English, you can look it up in whatever language you want. That statement of one mind is translated teamwork. Not unification.
Amen.
If Brother Josh and I were playing baseball and he is the third baseman and I am the shortstop, we have to learn to think of one mind. Now, I may think as the shortstop I have a better angle, but the third baseman takes priority. So if he thinks he's got it, it's my job to back up. We're of the same mind at that point in time. It doesn't mean we agree who had a better angle at the ball. Everybody doing okay?
No.
Didn't say we had to think the same thoughts, but we have to work together as a team. Our church staff and our school staff, we work together as a team. Unfortunately for them, I'm the coach. That's the way it is. But I'm more of a Pete Rose coach. I'm a player coach, amen? I'm not just going to sit on the bench and tell you what to do. I'm going to get in the trenches and hustle all around the bases with you.
Amen.
Marriage is a team sport. It's not a golf match.
Amen.
Thank God. It's just as frustrating as golf, but it doesn't mean that. I was watching Brother Larry back there. I saw what he was thinking. Brother Larry, I think I got in the weeds on that one. Can I tell you something? Parenting is teamwork.
Amen.
If you don't work together as a team, can I tell you something? You're going to destroy your children. They're never going to follow their teachers. They're never going to follow God if you're constantly tearing down leadership to your kids because leadership didn't agree with you. Oh, you got your little feelings hurt. I'm so sorry. It's amazing to me, and please let me throw a fit about the school, not that we've had any trouble. I don't know of any trouble we've had all week long. We have not talked about any trouble in the school. Our kids are perfect. We don't have any trouble. Honestly, I have not discussed this with him at all. We haven't had any issues like this that I know of, so it must not be a big issue. But for you to say, well, Brother Josh doesn't know what he's talking about, or that teacher doesn't know what they're talking about. Isn't it amazing that you weren't here and you know what happened? Before you blow your ever-loving stupid stack, why don't you find out all the details first? Say, well, preacher, that's not real nice. Well, I'm tired. Give me some grace. I'm serious. I've been at this a long time. Before you think you know what you don't know, why don't you trust somebody that's educated tens and tens and tens of thousands of people? Maybe you don't know as much as you think you do. I'm not saying I know it all. I'm not saying we're perfect. We're not. We're going to make mistakes. will make fewer mistakes than they're going to make in the public schools. That's for sure. Because our curriculum's based on the Word of God and truth, not how somebody feels. Learn how to work together and think as a team. Before you say yes to something, you say, what did your mom or what did your dad say? And check with them before you believe their answer. Oh, mom said, you better find out if mom really said what mom said. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Not that your kids would lie, but mine did. Not that I ever lied. Yeah, right. You see, learn to work as a team. Learn to think as a team. Learn to parent as a team. Learn to be in your marriage as a team. I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have used the term with one another, we make a good team. And we do. Working as a team will help you work as a team with the Holy Spirit and the Bible also. Let me ask you a question. Since you know everything, how's your walk with God? Do you make every right spiritual decision based on your teamwork with God? So, God says be of one mind. Number two, by the way, for some of you, even if you had one mind, it would be good. Number two, have compassion one of another. That means this. Learn to put someone else's needs and hurts before your own. Learn to put someone else's needs and hurts before your own. Learn to think about others more than yourself. May I talk to you as your pastor for a moment? Please don't be afraid to call me in the middle of the night when you have a need. Brother Harry, the other night, called me at 12:45. Preacher, he said, you got it on the second ring and you don't even sound like you were asleep. I came out of a dead sleep, answered the phone, was asking questions about medication, asking, and I mean, not 5 seconds before then, I was slobbering on my pillow. God has a way of giving me what I need. 12:45 last night. Preacher, I think we need you. I'll be right there. I was at their house before 1 o'clock. I jumped up, brushed my teeth, threw some clothes on, and got in the car and took off. I say, why'd you brush your teeth? You would have been glad. Amen? Now, wait a minute. You say, I've had less than 7 hours sleep since Friday. I had somebody this morning say, you think you're going to be okay? I'm fine. The Lord is my strength. Your needs are far more important than my desire for sleep. I can make up sleep some other time. Don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. Harry and Kathy getting what they need and their family getting what they need is more important to me than what I want right now. My wife getting what she needs is more important than me getting what I want. My children getting their needs met is more important to me than what I want. You see, that's called compassion. Learn to think about others more than yourself. If your want list is bigger than anybody else's, you got problems. Say, preacher, what do you want? Nothing. What do you want for your 10th anniversary as pastor of this church? For everybody to bring somebody to church with them? I don't want nothing. I don't. I read an article just this last week. Some pastor got up and slammed his church members because they didn't get him some $2,000 watch at Christmas this last year. He said, you bunch of poor, bad giving people, and just lamb-blasted them. And I thought to myself, if I were in that town, I'd counsel every one of those members to leave that church and go where somebody loved them. You say, well, preacher, that's not real nice. Neither's what he did. That's a wolf in shepherd's clothing. That's the kind of people give me a bad name. Everybody doing all right? All right, hang in there. If you get mad now, you're going to kill somebody later. When you think of others before yourself, that allows grace to flow. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. That grace is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You ought to be thankful that God loved you more than himself. Because had he not, we'd all be on our way to hell right now.
That's right.
You see, taking others' needs as your needs is living with grace. When Joe or Ashley has a need and I make it my need, I'm able to show them the grace that they need, and that's what allows grace to flow. Is that not what living as a grace of life is all about? Next of all, God says, love is brethren. I love that. He's talking about marriage, and he said, learn to love as brethren, brother and sister. Say, I got that down, preacher. We fight all the time. That's not what God's talking about. That means this. I am my wife's husband, but she doesn't have any grandparents. Neither do I. They're all in heaven. There's times I have to fill that role of being what her grandpa might be if she needs that. Sometimes I have to be in the role of a brother. Her brother lives very distant from us. And he's quite a bit younger than we are. Not she, me. He's quite a bit younger, and she really didn't know, wasn't really, really real close to her brother. He was just, good night, he was just 8 or 9 years old at most when we got married. If he was that old, I don't even remember. But he was just that tall. Now, wait a minute. There's times I have to be her brother. There's times I have to act as dad because dad's not always there. There's times I'm her pastor. There's times we're just friends. You see, I need to fill all these roles as she needs them filled. Brother Josh and I work together. If you saw us at home, you'd wonder how we ever get along at church. Amen? But when it comes to church, we know what role to fill. Now, when at home or playing games, look out, gloves are off, we're going bare knuckles. We're going to argue and fuss and feud and disagree and have fun doing it. Not in a mean way, that's just what we do. But when it comes to church, you can ask Mrs. Barnes, there's never a tense moment. You say, why? There's times he'll come to me and say, preacher, I need to talk to you as pastor. Then I need to talk to you as boss. There's times and we're here more than we're anywhere else. Every once in a while, I'll pull him aside and say, I need to talk to his dad for a second. Okay? We know what role to fill. I have to be boss, pastor, dad, sometimes counselor, sometimes referee. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that what God means here, to love as brethren? That's what God's talking about here. Learn that friendship and fun is the grease that keeps the wheel of relationships running smoothly. Some of you in your home, people are afraid of you. They don't want to talk to you. And if you talk to yourself the way you talk to everybody else, you'd know why. Then it says, be pitiful. Some of you fulfill that role very well. No, it means full of pity. It means sympathetic with those who are hurting. Now, this one's going to hurt, fellas. I'm just warning you. This one's, ouch, but you need it. Learn to suffer or sorrow with those who suffer and have sorrow. Now, It may not be what causes you suffering, but if someone's hurting, hurt with them. Just because the goldfish dying with your little boy or your little girl didn't bother you doesn't mean it didn't bother your little boy or little girl. Have a burial at sea, pull the chain, and let it go, amen? I don't know how many little burials we had, amen? Hamsters. My daughter would get a hamster. Them boys would put that thing in that little ball thing and throw it down the steps. They put it in there and get the BB gun out and shoot it in that thing, trying to ding that ball around. Get it. Only God knows what trauma those little critters went through. You didn't know I knew those things, did you? The altar's right here today. Anyway, but learn to suffer as someone suffers. Yeah. I can't tell you that every time my wife hurts about something that it hurts me. But it hurt her, so I'm going to show her pity and hurt with her. It doesn't mean it's going to affect me as much, okay? Just because her fingernail broke doesn't mean it gave me a bad day. But guess what, fellas? It will give her a bad day. Just because something slopped on her dress or something happened doesn't mean it's a bad day for me, but it is for her. And I don't need to say, suck it up. Okay? I didn't want to be a sodomite and marry a man.
Amen.
I wanted to marry a lady.
Amen.
I'm glad that bothers her. Get something on me? Who cares? Just shows it was good. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Just because it doesn't affect you the way it affects somebody else doesn't mean that being pitiful means I will hurt for them when they're hurting. Did you know somebody else's family member can die and it doesn't hurt me maybe the same way it was when it was my family member? But it doesn't mean I have to show them less compassion. I'll sit up with you and your family when you have loved ones dying. Like I wished I could have been with my mom. I couldn't even go to the hospital for her. I sat there through the night this morning watching Kathy with her mom. Brother Larry, I had a little tinge of selfishness for about 10 seconds. And I thought, I wished I had had that chance. Didn't get to. But guess what? Miss Osi's going to the same heaven.
Amen.
Last words she said to me was, I'll give your mom a hug. She said, will you give me a hug? And I did. Can I tell you something? Maybe if we would learn to treat others with the same sorrow that we want to be treated, maybe we would learn what this grace of living is all about. Learn to sincerely care about what matters to others, not how it affects you. You know, children in the school, their problems are meep compared to mine. I'm going to tell on Gus. I love that boy. Gus is my buddy. He was having a little bit of a meltdown on Friday. I was in my office. I could hear him, and Brother Josh had been at court for speeding ticket. No, some adoptions, fostering stuff. And I thought, my wife and Ruth Ann are going to have a time with Gus. He needs a man's voice right now. I can hear it. So I got up and I went down there. I said, what's the matter with you? And he had half of his lunch out at break time. And he was upset he couldn't eat all he wanted to eat at break time. And those of you that know Gus know what I'm talking about. You know, that's his favorite word. The eat and cake, amen? Well, he had about four or five things out. And my wife was telling him, you can't do that. You get this and you get that. but you can choose two of these five things you have out on the table right now. And he was not going to have it. And I put my arm around him and I said, Gus, either you choose two or I take it all away. So he was already chugging on one. I said, what other one do you want? And he grabbed his apple and I grabbed the others. And he said, I said, don't you eat them. I put it back in his lunchbox and zipped it up and I walked it over here and I said, that'll do. I said, if you eat it all now, you're going to die at lunch. Trouble was over. Do you know that was a big problem to him? He knew I loved him. He just needed somebody to, with a deeper voice. Amen? He just was going to see how far he could push the boundaries. And when he found out it was razor wire, he didn't push back. He was fine. I love that boy. I wasn't trying to be mean, but he needed to learn the rules. He needed to learn to obey. I backed the teachers. And everything was fine. Now, can I tell you something? Learn that how it affects you is different than how it affects somebody else. But it was affecting him. I didn't say, you need to grow up. That's not going to help anything. Next, be courteous, God says. He said, be courteous. That means kindness or manners. Okay, this one's going to hurt everybody in the room. Our best manners should be with those that are closest to us, not our worst manners. I realize home is home, but we've lost the mystique in our homes because there's no courteousness. We ought not let boys and girls and brothers and sisters and sisters and sisters and sisters and brothers scream and holler and be unkind and uncourteous to one another. Cloud up and, man, I clouded up and rained them when they started treating each other that way. You say, what? I think husbands and wives ought to treat each other with courtesy. I haven't had children living in my home in 8 or 10 years. 8 years, I guess. Something like that. 7 or 8 years. Do you know, even when my wife and I are in private, I don't answer her, yeah. For over 30 years, I've said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, to my wife. Say, why? She'll slap me upside the head if I don't. No, no. I believe in being courteous. By the way, my children still don't answer me that way. I don't answer my 83-year-old dad that way. It's yes, sir, no, sir. Say why? Because there ought to be a courteousness about what we do. I believe in teaching good manners. And it starts at home. Okay, that one went over real well. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that evil communication corrupts good manners. Look at the video games, the television shows, the movies, the YouTube, and everything else that our society and the news, and look how evil communication has destroyed the manners in America today. Adults, let me help you something. Let people call you sir or ma'am, depending on what you are. Don't say, well, that's my mom or that's my dad. No, they need taught respect for an adult. You're harming all other adults by saying, well, I don't want to be called that. Well, you've reached that point. Take it with honor. Take one for the team. America needs to know what courteousness is. I think men ought to hold the door open for a lady. But I also think a lady ought to be able to say thank you. Oh, it wasn't too awful long ago. I was at a store and held the door open for a lady. She said, I can hold it for myself. I said, I know you can, but I'm afraid my daddy'd slap me upside the head if I didn't hold it for you. She said, well, good thing he wasn't my dad. I said, yes, ma'am, it is. I'm not kidding. Now, I've had people huff and puff. I thought, well, size 8.5 would fit pretty good right there right now, but I'm not going to do that. Wait a minute. I think we ought to be courteous, showing manners. You see, being courteous will allow grace to control our lives. Do you know why you're being kind to someone? Maybe they would show kindness back when you need it. Then God says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. May I shorten this very quickly and I'll be done? That means this: act, don't react. Act, don't react. When you feel the heat of the moment come, don't respond with what your flesh tells you to do. Decide in advance how you're going to respond. I don't lose my temper. There's times I'll show anger, but it's been planned. I remember putting it on the calendar. This person needs me to throw a fit on that day. And I would do it. I remember the first time I had to correct a staff person one time, and it took me 1.5 years before I had the relationship with them to where I could correct them. When I did, I let it fly. And when I was done, they were in tears, and I said, I just want you to know I'm proud of you. It's taken me 1.5 years to where you would accept this the way you needed to accept it. I waited 1.5 years till they were ready. I remember having to correct a student one time. I had never raised my voice to a student in years. I had tried everything that was under the sun to do. I went to the pastor and I said, the next time this happens, this is exactly what I'm going to do. I don't know what the case is yet, but this is how I'm going to respond. I put it in writing with the date and handed it to him and said, because I know the parent of this student is going to blow a gasket and come see you. And it's going to come to your office. Keep it in file. He said, I'll do that. Sure enough, about 6-8 weeks later, someone transgressed the line. And I came unscrewed. And like clockwork, at 7:45 the next morning before school, they were standing at the pastor's office. At 8:05, my phone rang. Brother Bush, will you come to my office? So-and-so parent is here. Gladly. Because I had already let the pastor know what I did the day before. And like clockwork, it happened. Walked in, sat down, and that parent was with me. And the pastor said, Brother Bush, can you state what happened? And looked at the parent and said, before you say anything, just keep your mouth shut until he's done. I stated what happened. He reached on his desk, opened up a file, pulled out a note, handed it to the parent and said, look at the date on there. It was dated 6 or 8 weeks prior to that. He said, Brother Bush did not lose anything. This has been planned for a long time. Your child would not respond to anything but this. This wasn't an act of him hating your kid. He loves your child enough to want to help them. That parent looked at me and apologized. I said, no need. I was dismissed from the meeting, and I let the pastor deal with it. Oh, by the way, the punishment stuck. I had planned it, though. Have you ever had to correct little kids in a school? Sometimes it's hilarious. I used to have to put my principal face on. I'd be sitting there and they'd say something cute and I'd say, just a minute. I'd get up, walk away from my desk, go out, shut the door, walk far enough away and go, because I was about to bust. Remember one kid one day, kindergartner. He'd done something really bad. He was going to get in trouble. And I said, do you know what sin is? Oh, yeah, it's bad, 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 bad. I said, are you a sinner? Oh, no, not me. So I thought, well, let's get the gospel in anyway. And I said, well, God said because we're sinners, we all go somewhere when we die. Where's that place? And he looked at me and said, school? I said, buddy, some people might call school that place, but that's not where we're going to go. I really did want to laugh. My wife had a third grader that signed his dad's name to a demerit slip one day. He really thought it was going to pass. Good thing is Baptist kids aren't real bright, amen? Can I tell you something? Some of the things they do were funny, but I couldn't show it at the time. I had to keep that sternness. I had to act. I wasn't in a mood to be upset, but I had to force myself. Act, don't react. Don't give evil for evil, railing for railing. If somebody gets wound up, don't get wound up back. Unwind it all. Say, I'm sorry. How can we fix this? Instead of you getting your feelings hurt and you want to be louder than the other person. This means we're to plan our responses. Okay, now that everybody's broken, bloodied, and weary here, God says, being heirs together of the grace of life. He gives us six ways to live that grace. Let me ask you a question. How we doing? Aren't you glad he lives every point of that? For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not yourselves, it's the gift of God. Aren't you glad God gave us his grace? Because we sure don't deserve it. We blow it every day and we don't deserve his goodness, but he gives us his goodness anyway. Maybe we ought to learn from the grace of God how to treat one another with the grace of life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher? I am 100% sure. If I died today, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. I appreciate your honesty. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven?